Medical researchers are beginning to share ideas as they look for a treatment for SARS. The disease came to the world's attention just 2.5 months ago, but there are now SARS specialists, people who've thrown themselves into studying this disease. Outside Washington this week, they gathered for their first major meeting. NPR's Joanne Silberner went to hear what they're learning, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
So are scientists any closer to a treatment for this disease?
Well, they've got a lot of ideas. The one thing that's blocking a real quick trip to a treatment is they don't have an animal model. They don't have an animal who they can infect with the virus, try the different treatments. So the treatments they're working on in the test tube mostly, and there's some very interesting ideas. One is when they discovered or when they identified the exact nature of the genetic material, they found one similarity to HIV. So they're trying a treatment that's worked in HIV on this. They're going to see how that does. They're trying some fairly crude methods in people already. In Asia, they're trying a method where they take the antibodies from people who have survived the disease because their antibodies were able to fight it off and giving them to other people to see if that works.
So you're actually drawing, some scientists are actually drawing blood from people who've been infected by this and recovered and pulling some of the material out of that blood and giving it to somebody else.
Exactly. And it's fairly crude, but, you know, when you have a disease and you don't have a treatment, you try what you can.
And you mentioned HIV. How valuable has HIV research been to people as they study this virus?
The value, I think, has been in what it's done for the whole field of virology. You know, when HIV was discovered about 20 years ago, or when the disease was first identified, it took them a couple of years, really, to get the virus in hand. This was within weeks. This was incredibly fast. And part of it was because of all the understanding that's been made of viruses. You know, there are big differences between HIV and SARS, you know, how quickly it spreads, what it does to people, the whole clinical aspect. But the techniques have really speeded the research. And the researchers, I saw a lot of HIV researchers there at this meeting, and I think they're really going to add a lot because they've got a lot of experience in studying unknown things.
Now, we started off talking about a treatment that certainly is the most urgent question for the 8,000 people who have this and who knows how many more who fear getting it. But I know for researchers, you have to start at the beginning, trying to identify exactly what you're up against. They've identified the virus that causes SARS. Now, what is the next big mystery that they have to go after here?
Well, every discovery has led to 3 or 4 or 5 more questions. And the mystery that was the most talked about at this meeting is super spreaders. There seemed to be one of the things that's come out of the epidemiology, the tracing back, the figuring out where did this person get it. They have found a handful of people who spread this disease incredibly efficiently, and they don't know why. You know, at scientific meetings, you just don't often hear an audience gasp. But a woman from Toronto presented the details of an infection that occurred back in March, where a woman accompanied her husband, who had a frank case of SARS, to the hospital. She was just getting sick, and she was filling out his paperwork. She was in a room for less than an hour. There were people who walked in and out of that room for a minute or two. She spread it to 10 people. Now, the moderator of the meeting pointed out that if that happened with everyone who had SARS, we wouldn't have 8,000 cases. We'd have 80,000. There was either something about the woman, something about the room, something about the virus that made a big difference, and they want to know why.
And they don't know why.
Not yet.
A bigger question here is a question of a vaccine. Are they moving any closer to that?
They're certainly moving closer, but it takes a long time to develop a vaccine. The good news here is that there are a lot of vaccines against coronaviruses that happen in animals because it happens to happen in cows and in pigs a lot. So there are a lot of vaccines developed. They've got a lot of methodologies. They can try a lot of patterns to follow. The bad news is that there have been some vaccines that have been really problematic. There's a cat form of this virus, or a coronavirus that affects cats. They developed a vaccine that instead of the cat dying in 28 days after you give them the virus, after giving them the vaccine, they would die in 14 days. It actually speeded the rate of death. It made the illness worse when they got it. So they know where the sinkholes are. They've got to make sure that they move around them.
Is it getting any easier even to know who has SARS to test them easily?
Great question. Yes and no. It's getting easier now to know who has been infected with SARS. They've got a good and accurate test for about 3 weeks out. That's great when you're trying to count who's been exposed, who has it, what's going on.
You mean 3 weeks after you've been infected, you can test somebody.
Right. But you really want to know if you're treating somebody on day one. Pneumonia is not that uncommon a condition, and you want to know when someone comes into the hospital who's got some respiratory problems. You want to know right away.
Is it pneumonia? Is it SARS?
Well, is it pneumonia? Is it pneumonia caused by SARS?
Okay, all right.
And to do that, you need a test that looks for bits of the virus. They have one. It's just not precise enough yet. They're working on it, and I think they'll have something soon. But right now, it's still a matter of waiting, looking at the symptoms, and figuring it out from there.
NPR's Joanne Silberner. Joanne, thanks very much.
Thank you.